Hey everyone, ready to dive into something kind of cool with me today? We're going to be tackling agile portfolio management. And trust me, it's way more interesting than it sounds. You know how much we love PI planning, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to explore if those same principles can kind of bring that same magic to those bigger strategic projects that often feel, well, kind of messy.
You're spot on about the messy part. It's like organizations just get lost in this sea of epics and roadmaps, and they forget about that agile mindset that makes it all work in the first place.
Totally. It's like they're putting on a show. You know, all the right words, but none of the substance. And that question, when will it be done? Talk about a recipe for frustration. It's like that question exposes this fundamental disconnect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it absolutely does. That question often reveals a deeper issue, and that is that teams get stuck in what we call LPM theater.
LPM theater.
LPM theater. Imagine that they're using all the agile terms, right? But behind the scenes, it's the same old project-based thinking epics. They become these glorified tasks on a checklist, you see, and then those detailed roadmaps, they're treated like gospel. Instead of recognizing the reality that things change, priorities shift, and we need to be able to adapt.
Okay, LPM theater. I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
That's just too good. But you know what? If we could bring some order to this chaos, I've been looking into some work by Safe fellow Yuval Yuret, and he has this fascinating idea about Safe being like a fractal.
Okay.
You know, those intricate snowflake patterns?
Right.
He's suggesting that the same elegant structure that works at the team level in PI planning can be applied all the way up to portfolio management.
And that's where things get really interesting. Think about what makes PI planning so effective. You've got your decentralized decision-making, iterative planning, constant collaboration. Now imagine harnessing those same principles to manage strategic initiatives across entire portfolios.
Okay, so we're not just talking about slapping a PI planning label on a portfolio meeting and calling it a day,
yeah,
right?
Definitely not. It's about understanding the underlying principles that make PI planning work and then finding creative ways to apply them at a larger scale. For example, remember that when will this be done? Question.
Yeah.
Yuret suggests a really interesting approach to road mapping epics that directly addresses that. He argues that we often spend way too much time planning for things that might never even happen.
Oh, tell me more about that. I am all about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. So instead of trying to nail down this detailed roadmap for every single epic right away, Yuret suggests holding off until an epic is actually approved and ready for implementation. You see, it's about being lean, minimizing waste, and only investing in detailed planning when you know it's worthwhile.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I can already see how this could be a game changer, especially for large, complex initiatives.
Yeah.
So how does this actually play out in a real world setting? How do we actually DO portfolio planning?
Well, picture this. You gather key people from across different value streams, just like in PI planning. But instead of focusing on features, you're tackling those meaty strategic epics.
So we're talking about bringing that same collaborative spirit of PI planning to the portfolio level, but with a more strategic twist.
Exactly. You've got your preparation phase where you're setting the context, defining the objectives. Then you move into breakout sessions. But instead of focusing on features for a single art, you're figuring out how different value streams contribute to these larger epics.
And here's where it gets really cool. During these portfolio planning sessions, you know, new connections are made, dependencies are uncovered. And sometimes you might even realize you need like a special team, a dynamic art to tackle a particularly gnarly epic that stretches across multiple value streams.
Yeah, think of these dynamic arts as like SWAT teams,
you know,
formed for specific strategic initiatives. They bring together the right people, just like in PI planning, but with that laser focus on conquering that complex epic. It's about being agile, adapting your organizational structure to the work at hand.
Okay, so we're bringing people together. We're having those crucial cross-functional conversations. But how do we make sure this whole thing is actually driven by strategy? That's where aligning with those top-level strategic themes becomes critical, right?
Absolutely. And this is often where organizations stumble. They fall into the trap of simply cascading down strategic themes from on high. You know, that top-down approach that feels more like, here's what you will do, instead of empowering teams to figure out how their work contributes to the bigger picture.
It's like being handed a to-do list instead of being invited to co-create the strategy, right? And that's like a surefire way to kill motivation and innovation.
Exactly. But Yuret points to a much more agile and engaging approach. He shares a great example of a biotech company that totally nailed it. They hosted these collaborative workshops where teams could really dig into the strategic themes, connect them to their day-to-day work, and even provide feedback.
I love that. So instead of just being told what to do, these teams were actively involved in shaping how they could contribute to the overall strategic goals.
Right. And the beauty of this approach is that it fosters this sense of ownership and alignment across the organization. The biotech company, in Yaret's example, they took it a step further by using objectives and key results, or OKRs, to measure their progress towards those strategic themes.
Okay, for those of us who aren't as familiar with OKRs, can you give us like a quick breakdown?
Absolutely. Imagine you set a strategic goal. That's your objective.
Right.
Then you define measurable key results that tell you if you're on track to achieve that goal. So instead of simply saying, we want to improve customer satisfaction, you would have something like, we will increase customer satisfaction by 15% as measured by our net promoter score by the end of the quarter.
Ah, I see. So it's about setting ambitious outcome-based goals and then tracking your progress with data.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And because this biotech company embraced that iterative, feedback-driven approach, they were able to refine their OKRs and adjust their plans as needed. The result: greater buy-in from the teams, a clearer line of sight between their work and the strategic objectives, and ultimately a greater chance of success.
This is all making so much sense. We've talked about avoiding LPM theater, embracing the factual nature of SAFE, and even using PI planning principles for portfolio management. But you mentioned something earlier about outcome-oriented planning. What exactly is that? And how does it fit into all of this?
It's about shifting our focus from simply delivering outputs to actually achieving desired outcomes.
Yeah.
Imagine this. Instead of celebrating the completion of a feature, you're celebrating the impact it has on the business or your customers.
So instead of saying, we delivered feature X on time and under budget, which, let's face it, doesn't really tell us much about the value it delivered, we'd be saying something like, our new feature helped us increase customer engagement by 20%.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots between what we do and the impact we want to have, you know? And this is where metrics and data become really important.
It's like that old saying, what gets measured gets managed, right?
Yeah.
But instead of just tracking outputs, we're measuring our progress toward those bigger, more meaningful outcomes.
And remember, this isn't just about doing agile at the portfolio level. It's about being agile. It's about embracing those core principles of experimentation, feedback, and continuous improvement.
So we're not afraid to try new things, collect data, see what's working, and adjust our plans as we go.
Absolutely. It's about being flexible and responsive to change, which, let's face it, is the name of the game in today's fast-paced world.
This whole approach to portfolio management just feels so much more aligned with how businesses actually operate, don't you think? I mean, things rarely go according to plan. Priorities shift. New opportunities emerge. We need a way to be agile at every level, especially when it comes to strategy.
You're hitting the nail on the head. By bringing that adaptability to our strategic planning, we can be more responsive to those inevitable changes and ultimately more successful in achieving our goals.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. I feel like we've uncovered a treasure trove of insights, from the dangers of LPM theater to the elegance of fractals and the power of outcome-oriented thinking.
It all started with that deceptively simple question, when will this be done? But by really digging into that question, we've uncovered this whole new way of thinking about how we manage work, how we achieve strategic alignment, and how we deliver real value in this constantly changing world.
So as you continue on your journey into the world of agile portfolio management, here's something to ponder. What if we treated our strategic plans more like hypotheses to be tested and less like roadmaps set in stone? How might that shift our thinking and, more importantly, our actions? Until next time, happy planning.